Second in a series on prayer. And you may have noticed that as we do songs and other things in between transitions of the service, you will hear me start to lead into a prayer. What I want to do is get us in the habit of calling out to God for different reasons. I believe when you pray to God, you should always have a good reason. We don't just say a prayer out of a prayer book, although some people do. They actually have a book of prayers, and they simply recite them. And maybe they recite them with sincerity. I don't know. Probably. But my point is, the reason we sang that song tonight is because we want to give God our heart. We want to give Him everything that we are. And that's not always easy to do. We tend to like to hold back pieces of ourselves, if not quite a bit of ourselves, and we want God when we need Him. It's okay to pray for needs. There's nothing wrong with praying for needs. We do that. We should never focus on just praying for needs. There is more to prayer than praying for needs. We have all kinds of lost people in our family, all kinds. We should pray for souls to be saved, that God will move in such a mighty way that He will do something drastic. I'm expecting something drastic, something amazing. And so my question to you is, what do you expect? Do you expect God to move, or are we going to sit here and do nothing? Hear a good sermon or a lecture, maybe in this case, hear a good lecture, and then go home and do the same thing, same old, and not do anything else about it. I'm telling you tonight, that everyone must be taught how to pray. I want to do a real quick review last week. Remember, I asked you to remember a phrase. See if you can remember the answer to this. Why seek the Lord? Very good. We got one. Because He is worthy to be sought. Because He is worthy to be sought. So we want to set a time every starting in April 7th, we want to set a time, just the whole service, of seeking the Lord because He is worthy to be sought. We're going to start April 7th, and then after that, it'll be the first Sunday evening thereafter. Our goal is to make prayer a priority. Pray for needs, pray for the lost, pray for the church, pray for our pastors. Oh, we have so many things that we can pray for. Please come and please invite people. Please spread the word starting first Sunday, April 7th. That'll be our first Sunday. We don't want to make prayer personal. How do you make prayer personal? Well, first of all, in order to make something personal, sometimes you have to be public about it. So we're going to pray as a public gathering, just us in this room. We're going to pray, and then we're going to take that with us. Does that make sense? So you learn to pray in public. It will help you to pray out there, you know, individually. And so when I started thinking about this, I thought, well, James talks about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. Well, I want to see much. How about you? I want to see much. So it takes that effectual, fervent prayer. Ah, but it said a righteous man or woman. Righteous. We can't be unrighteous and expect God to answer our prayers. We have to be righteous. First step is to know Jesus Christ. And so prayer is the way that God has chosen. Why? I don't know. But prayer is the way that God has chosen to do His will on earth. It sounds odd maybe to us, but when Jesus Christ was here in the flesh, He often withdrew himself to, the Bible calls it lonely places. You know, when I think of a lonely place, I think like maybe out in the woods, which back then they didn't have that many woods necessarily. So it would be out in the wilderness part. When I say wilderness, not trees, it's out there where there's nothing, rocks, sand, and other things like that. Jesus would go out there and his disciples would notice. They would notice. That's his way. That's God's way to accomplish his will on earth. So we got to understand that prayer moves from something that can seem selfish. This is talking about our needs. We can always pray. If you know, typically, when does anybody call 911? Yes, when you need help. A lot of people treat God like that. They'll call on God only when they need help. Nothing wrong with that, to call on God when you need help. Call on me in times of trouble, he says. But we call on him during other times when things are going great. That's when he inhabits. The Bible says he inhabits our praise. God loves to be sought. He wants you to know him. And y'all might think, well, isn't that kind of egotistical? Well, no. It's not egotistical when God is willing to give his only son. I could not give up any of my children or grandchildren, and I apologize to all of you, but I would not give one of my children up for any of you. And I doubt you would do the same for me. But the thing is, God gave his only son for you so that you could know him and know the Father. Eddie spoke about that this morning. Adam kind of messed all that up. Well, Adam and Eve together, but Adam sinned willingly. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. And so he messed it all up for all humanity. And so when he did that, God had a plan to reconcile us back to him. And it's through Jesus Christ and his suffering. So prayer is the way we come to the Lord. That's the way he accomplishes things in the world. I mean, if you want revival, if you want souls to be saved, if you want a manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, it's only going to come about through prayer. It won't come about no other way. I don't care how many books you read, how many sermons you hear, and whatnot. It's going to be that time you spend talking to God. Now, we make it harder than we think to talk to God. But what I want to transition to is that the disciples, now this is what you got to understand. Let's go ahead and read our first scripture. Luke 11, verse 1 said, "And it came to pass that as he," that was Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," so they waited till he finished. "So when he ceased, one of his disciples," I'd always like to know who it was, probably Peter, "he said, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.'" You got to understand why that is so odd. These were grown up adult Jewish men. They had already learned to recite prayer. They knew scripture. They could memorize scripture. They could pray in the temple and had prayed in the temple many, many, many times. But they knew something was different. Something was missing. And that Jesus Christ had the answer to it. So they knew that they had to be taught. So these adult men who supposedly prayed all this time are now asking the master, you almost could reword that by saying it, "Teach us to pray right," or "in the right way. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Now, this is going to be a little different from the version in Matthew chapter 6. There's two versions of this occurrence. But listen to this, starting with verse 2. And this is Jesus speaking to them in answer to their request. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, my goodness, we use God's name in vain in so many ways. I'm not picking on anybody in here, but if you just simply call out, oh, my God, or dear Lord, and don't mean to call upon him, you're using his name in vain. You know, we do that out of habit. That's what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about addictions. We do things out of habit. You know, we use phrases. And then some people use God's name as a curse word. But here he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. In other words, you're sacred. Sacred be thy name. And then he says, pray for the kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Look at this. Now he's looking to us. Give us day by day our daily bread. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow's not got here. So we can only pray for today's supply. If you remember the story when they prayed for food back in the days of Moses and they were wandering in the wilderness, they had to go out and they collected this thing called manna. And manna was just a funny word to say, what is it? They didn't know what they were eating. It would just appear on the ground. They would go collect it. And God told them, he said, now look, I'm feeding you, but I want you to only collect just one day's worth, okay? Just one day. And then right before the Sabbath, he said, we'll collect 2 days' worth, just only on that time. You know how people are. We get a little greedy. I tell you, when we have a luncheon or something going on at our work, one of the first things we do is after the lunch period is over, we're all kind of hovering around the table to see what's left, you know? So people are out there with that manna and they're like, there's some more over there. I'll just reach over and grab me a little bit more and stuff it in my bag. Now I got more manna than you do. Ha, you know? Well, the joke was on them because it said in the Bible that the manna would stink. It rotted somehow and that worms were in it. Ugh. Just thinking about it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. But give us day by day our daily bread. You could even say our daily faith or our daily strength. What we need for today, to live for today, for Jesus Christ. Now here he's talking about your physical needs, but we have other needs. Oh, and here's the biggie. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Do we? I'm not judging, I'm asking. Jesus is making the comment. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then he says, of course, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then that's where he stops. So he lays out this model. He's talking about praising the Father in heaven. And then he's talking about bringing it back down. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, that God's will be done on this earth. Man, I could spend a long time praying for our government to start doing God's will. I'm telling you, we got lots to pray for just for that if we wanted to. If we wanted to focus on that. But then he starts moving inward. Okay, so we got the upward, downward, inward part. Forgive us our sins and give us day by day our daily bread. And then the outward part. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That evil that's out there that's trying to destroy you. That's trying to destroy your relationship. It's trying to destroy your joy of salvation. I feel sorry for those who go through a mode of depression because sometimes it's hard to come out of that. To go through depression is like losing hope. And Jesus came to give us hope. And so this is the thing. So that evil that's out there, he's saying, deliver us. Break those chains, Lord. Please break those chains. So he's given this model for us to pray by. And then he tells a story. He tells a quick story here. Starting in verse 5, he said, "And he said unto them," to the disciples, "which of you shall have a friend and shall go into him at midnight?" Who goes to somebody's house at midnight? Well, it happens, but they do. All right, so you have a friend. "Which of you shall have a friend, and you shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. I need food.'" Why does he need food? Well, here we go. He has apparently another friend. "For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." You know, this guy's broke. And somebody's knocking on the door, not for money. They're wanting food. So the guy is, this is at midnight now. Now, we have a neighbor friend, and I love him. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I love him, and we're friends. But I was all there, sitting there in the living room. I was in my jogger pants. I sleep in jogger pants and an old raggedy shirt. And anyway, all of a sudden the door knocks. I'm looking at my clock, and I'm like, whoa, who's knocking on my door at this time of night? Well, the guy wants to use my cell phone to call his dad because he's locked himself out of the house. Somehow he left his keys in the car, he locked the door of the car, and now he's got the house and the car is locked, the house is locked, he can't get in. So I loaned him the phone, you know, not thinking much about it. Used it for about 5 minutes, gave it back, and that was the end of it. Until the next night. He worked whatever job he worked kind of late. And I stayed up late, so everybody else is in bed, so here, knock, 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 I'm like, what? So I get up the second night in a row, and I go to the door, and you ever get kind of spooked? So I open the door like this to see who it is, and it's like, there he is again. And he's sitting there with his head down, said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I locked my keys in my car." I said, "Again?" And I did not mean to say it that way. I promise. I know, but I went, "Again?" And he said, "Yes." And like, yes. He said, "Can I use your phone?" And I gave him my cell phone. Same thing happens. He calls his dad. He bring over the extra keys and let him in. And maybe it was because of the way I said it, because if he's locked himself out again, he didn't come to my house. Or he's learned not to lock himself out of the house. One or the other. But anyway, so here we have a friend who comes to your house in need of something. And in this case, this guy says, I've got one of my friends, he just got here, and it's midnight, and I don't have anything to feed him. I don't have anything to set before him. So he's banging on the door at midnight, this guy, and he's wanting 3 loaves. So they're shouting through the door. He's not opening the door to peek up because he's in bed. And so here, this is what he said from inside. "And he from within shall answer and say," this is our thought, this is what we would do, "Trouble me not, don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed." And you got to understand, back then, usually it was a one-room house, maybe one or two large beds. "The children are now with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee." Because if he were to get up, what's he going to do? He's going to have to light a lamp. He's probably going to knock things over like I do. Every time I get out of bed, I seem to knock something over in the middle of the night. One day, I think it was Aaron or Deronda or both of you, I knocked over my table. I keep a little table of stuff books and stuff that I'm reading. I knocked it completely over, and they come running. I woke up everybody. They come running. And so that's what he's concerned about, chaos. Chaos in the house, all because you got some friend who decides to show up at midnight and he wants something to eat. And now you're at my house. So this guy's a little, maybe not a little, but a lot upset. And now keep in mind where I'm going with this. Jesus is teaching about prayer. Okay, so he's telling this story. And so he goes like this. I say unto you, this is Jesus now. This is how the story ends. So we got a man who wants something at midnight and another man who's in bed and he don't want to be troubled and bothered at all. And Jesus says this. He said in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend. Think about that. I'm not going to get out of bed and I'm not going to wake up all the family just because you're my friend. But he says, yet because of his importunity, it's a word we don't use much anymore, but that's his shamelessness. Knocking on that door, bum, 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 bum. And you're trying to ignore it because you're asleep in the house. Bum, 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 bum. You're like that. Oh, come on. You know, after once or twice, they'll quit and go away. No. Bum, 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 bum. Guy just keeps on knocking. And so finally, the man starts yelling at him. Hey, what do you want? I want 3 loaves of bread. Well, we're in bed. Don't you know? It's midnight. But because of his shamelessness, like the guy I was telling you about, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Why? Get him off the porch. Get him out of the way. Get him out there. Now, Jesus is telling that for a reason. These guys are supposed to be good friends, okay? No, it's pinkies. I had the wrong finger. Pinkies. Okay, they're supposed to be friends, buds, best buds maybe. I don't know, BFFs, whatever the word is today. But here now it's turned into a story of aggravation because Jesus is trying to compare and contrast the difference between humans and God. Okay, so here it is. Here's the difference. And this is where we're leading up to near the end here. So Jesus continues to say to the disciples in verse 9, he said, and I say unto you, ask, and you could say, I have to study sometimes. I can't read Greek, so just so you know, I can't read Greek, but I have to study books from people who do. And this word ask, they've got a name this big for the grammar. I don't know that much grammar. I never was that good in grade school grammar. But it's the same as if I were to say, keep asking. Don't just ask one time. So when he says, for I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. This is where it comes in. For everyone, and I'm going to change the ETH to S, for everyone that asks or keeps asking, receives. This is Jesus talking. And he that seeks or keeps on seeking will find or receive, findeth, he says. And to him that knocks or keeps on knocking, like that man in the story, it shall be opened. And it was. And so Jesus is telling this in regards to prayer. So what is he saying here? When you come to him and you ask him something and you pray before God, you might not get it right then. God is not a fast food God. Hate to break the news to you. He's not a fast food God. We're so used to fast food anymore that we drive up to the window, get our food, pay, and go. Boom, we're done. And so when we come to the Lord, we say, hey, Lord, we're knocking on the door. Lord, hey, God, Lord, we need help. We need help. This, we need this. And the list goes on and on. And the Lord might be saying, well, let's see. And you're like, no, I need it now. I need it now. Lord, I need it now. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. David even said, don't tarry. Tarry not. He said, I need you. I need you now. I need your help. I need it now. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. But God operates on his timing. See, we have our timing. He has his. And sometimes we just wish they both would be on the same track, but they're not always like that. But notice he says that for everyone that asks and keeps asking will receive, and he that seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and to him that knocks and keeps on knocking shall be opened. It shall be opened. And now he comes to the crux of the matter, and we're going to finish with this. So he's comparing human behavior to godly behavior, okay? Human behavior is what he just got through describing. And so here he goes. He's comparing humans and God. Because he said in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, that's easy to read, right? You're a father and your son comes to you and says, Dad, can I have some bread? What are you going to do? Cross your arms and say, no. No, that's not how you do it. Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? In other words, is he going to trick him? Is he going to play tricks on his own kid? This is what God is saying. If you're a father and your son wants bread, are you going to give him a rock? We used to have a rock up here. It looked like a biscuit. I always thought that was the coolest thing. Looked like a biscuit. I hope nobody broke a tooth on it. But anyway, and if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No. How about this? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? I mean, what father is doing this? And I can just see the disciples scratching their head like, huh? If my son asks for a egg, will I give him a scorpion? Jesus is going somewhere with this. And this is the crux of the whole message. So when you're talking about prayer, so if ye then being evil, talking about us, or the general population at large, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, oh, folks, grab hold of this scripture. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, when you begin to pray, when you begin to seek after God, an odd thing begins to happen. The Holy Spirit begins to fill you up and begins to draw you closer to God. And now your prayers start taking on a whole new meaning. They're not just asking for things from God. Yes, we can, and we should. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord told us to ask for things like that. But he also said, the same, very same Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? And all these other things will be added unto you. So we come to seek him. And so that's what he's telling us. How much more? So he's saying, if you guys over there, you're evil people, and you know how to do good things. So how much more don't you think your heavenly Father loves you enough to give you what you seek and what you ask and what you are looking for? So when I ask God to help me break an addiction, or to help me break a habit, or to help me break some struggle I'm going through that I'm just having a tough time with, or I mentioned depression earlier, you know, to break me out of that loop of depression, of thinking thoughts that aren't there, You know what? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody else does that besides me, but sometimes you think things that aren't there. And I have to ask God, save me from myself. I had a message one time where it said, Lord, I'm poor and I'm needy. That's a way of saying I'm pitiful. And the Lord hears me. The Lord knows I'm pitiful. One of the scriptures says, as a father pities his son, so the Lord pities us. I think that's in Psalms. So do you get this? When we talk about prayer, God is so eager, for you to come to him, not just for when you're in trouble, not just for a need that somebody else has. Somebody's traveling to so-and-so and hope they get a safe journey. That's good. All that's good. God wants you to know who he is. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know how loving he is. That's why he says, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep, you know, be shameless. Like that guy knocking on the door at midnight. That's why Jesus told that story. You know, the guy, because of his shamelessness, gave it to him. Not because he was his friend, but God would do it because we're more than his friend. We're his children. We're his children. And so God will listen to us. So this is how I want to conclude. I want to say that God wants to answer your prayers. He does. He has conditions. That's for another sermon. But God wants to answer your prayers. Pray what God wants. The way you do that is you look in the Bible, you look at the scripture, and if the Lord says this, thou shalt not do such and such, say, Lord, I need help today. Don't let me do such and such. I don't want to be that kind of person anymore. I want you to make me who I need to be. There's that song, God's Still Working on Me. And God wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith in him. That's why I've been praying that all these needs that we've been praying for, I'm hoping somebody's going to come here with a testimony so wild, so amazing, that we're going to be blown away by how good, how great God is to us. All because we prayed. All because we prayed. And we kept on praying. We didn't just stop there. And so God wants you to seek him. Why should we seek God? Because he's worthy to be sought. Yes. Learn that phrase because I'm going to keep asking. He's worthy to be sought. He wants you to know who he is. If you would, please stand. After we close out the CD, if you want prayer, I'll be so glad to pray for you. We'll all gather around. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. Teach us, Lord, not to give up on our first try. Teach us, Lord, to just keep knocking, to keep asking, and to keep seeking. Teach us, Lord, how to do these things. And Lord, we pray that as you teach us how to live a righteous and holy life, Lord, that you will be pleased to answer our prayer. That you'll be pleased, Lord, to save souls on our behalf, to our friends and our family and people we know, Lord, who are in trouble. We know that you're able to help them more and above, beyond what I can ask or think, you said. So Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. I pray that you go with us. Keep us safe until next time. In Jesus' name, amen.